Eventually, payday is coming. You'll never convince me otherwise. Been there, lived through it, glory to God, and everything is on my life today. There was a day when it looked like I couldn't make it. There was a day when it looked like I didn't know how I was ever going to make it financially. There was a day that I didn't know how things were going to turn around, but God changed things around. Something happened down the road where the blessing of God started running me down. Praise the name of Jesus. You're looking at a blessed man today. You know, a fellow came in the other day, said to me, my name is so-and-so, and he said something about, and I'm poor. And he was making a joke out of it. I said, my name is Bill, and I'm not poor. I'm not necessarily talking about financial finance here. I'm talking about the blessing of God. There's a whole lot more to be successful and prosperous than financial gain. Financial gain is good. I've had no financial gain. I've been in the depths of not having any, and I've had some financial gain, and financial gain is better. But God says, I pray that you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You can have all the money in the world, still die and go to hell. And that's not a prosperous man. That's not a prosperous man. But as your soul prospers before God, you can have all the money in the world and still go to heaven as you're prospering in the things of God. But you're doing it God's way. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. So as we do it God's way, we can count on being blessed. David said, I have been made exceedingly glad in the presence of the Lord. Now, one of the ways to maintain the blessing and presence of the Lord is always to be thankful. Even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of difficult times, don't ever blame God. I don't know why. I really don't know why in my own life, when I became a Christian in 1980, I was 27 years old, I became a Christian, and it seemed like all hell broke loose after that. It seemed like I just went down and financially went down to real bad places. And it seemed like I was never going to get turned around in it. And I would read the scriptures, and I would read the scriptures where it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And then in Deuteronomy 8:18, remember it's the Lord your God who gives you the ability to get wealth. And I was, God, I don't know what's going on. These ain't working in my life. But in the midst of that, I never blamed God. I never threw the book aside and said, oh, this stuff don't work. All I knew, it wasn't manifesting yet in my life. But I hung on to the Word. I just thought, well, the Word is not going to change. So maybe down the road, I'll change. And some different things will happen. And so, but I never blamed God for my difficulties and problems. I figured I opened the door one way or another for the difficulties that I had. And God showed me very clearly that pride was a big thing that got me in a lot of trouble. It cost me a lot. Cost me years and years of living, very meagerly. And I'll say one thing. Debbie and I, when we lived those years, we didn't have nothing, but we didn't have an attitude of entitlement where we went and bought it anyway and put it on a credit card. And that's one of the worst things you can do. Don't walk around with an attitude of entitlement that you think you deserve this. I'm a child of the King. You deserve it. You deserve it if you got the money to pay for it. You don't deserve it if you don't. And if you owe money, you don't deserve to spend money on yourself. Oh, I better get off that one. I'm going to get in trouble here. Now, Christians need to live with integrity in every area within your finances. When you go through trials, don't question the goodness of God in your life. Attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. And there's some things that'll kind of do things for your attitude. Well, if you can find some healthy thing to do, then do it. I remember one time a man, this guy was losing his hair. And he eventually went and got a wig. And his wife said, my goodness, I wish you would have got that wig years ago. It just changed his whole attitude. So he went and got a wig. That's all it took. Went and got a wig. You know, you can look at it that way and do that. Or realize the truth of the matter is, that God covered most heads. And the ones that were good and didn't need any help, he let them go clear. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed, everybody say blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Glory to God, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. There was a guy by the name of Sir Shackleberry, I think an Englishman, who went to go to the South Pole. And he was gone. He had three people with him, and they loaded up some ponies with supplies and so forth. They were going to make it to the South Pole. And they didn't make it. 3 weeks later or so, their donkeys died and the rations were gone. And they turned around, headed back to camp. And they had no rations. And according to his record, all the way back, as they were walking back, they were talking about food. They were talking about good food, gourmet food, food that they'd love to have right in front of them right now. They talked about that all the way back to the camp. They were thirsty and they were hungry, and they talked about what they were thirsty and hungry for. Jesus said, those who thirst and hunger after righteousness shall be filled. Are you thirsty? Are you hungry after righteousness? Are you hungry after the right way of doing things? Are you hungry for the kingdom of God? If you are, there'll be words come out of your mouth that will display to others where your hunger is. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says that you shall be filled. Now, let me ask you this question. Well, what do you do if you're not hungry? How do you make yourself hungry for the things of God if you don't? If you're not? Well, the Word of God will certainly give you a good appetite for the things of the kingdom. As you read in the Word of God, number one, when you find out what's available to you as a citizen of the kingdom, what the scripture say in Psalms 103? Forget none of his benefits, that he forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Next Sunday night, we'll be having a healing service as well. Here, specifically focused in on that scripture, that he heals all our diseases. And we'll be declaring that over people. We'll be talking about how God has paid the price that we might be made well. We've got testimonies where God has healed people during those times. If we hunger and thirst after the things of the kingdom of God, Jesus will fill that thirst. He wants us to. Now, again, if we're not thirsty, most of the things in the kingdom are decisions that we make. So we decide, do I want to thirst for the things of the kingdom? Well, logically, just look at it. Look at the scriptures and see what the Bible says the kingdom of God has to offer. Once you find out what the kingdom of God has to offer, then what you do is make a decision. Do I want it or not? It's pretty easy. It's a no-brainer, really. Either I make decision for the things of the kingdom of God or not, or the things of the world. Once you make that choice, you say, God, give me a thirst for the things of the kingdom. I tell you, if you pray that prayer, he'll answer. Grant unto me a thirst, a passion for the things of the kingdom. Grant unto me a thirst to live right before you, God. Grant unto me heaven's grace, that I might have a thirst for the kingdom of God. Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Talking about his presence, isn't it? When you see somebody, most of the time they're in your presence. I mean, you can watch something on television, and you see something in television. Now listen to this. If you don't miss this, you'll get something that'll help you. When you watch television, you might see. Now, it's not like having an individual in your presence. But even over the airways, you can be influenced by setting your eyes on things that you see on television. And if you see things that are wholesome, and they're impacting your soul realm, there's an impartation that will come that will help bring some of those attributes into your heart. Now, if you're watching something that you shouldn't watch on television, if you're watching porn or things like that, you see that, there is, you are opening yourself up for an impartation of what's been displayed before you. So you want to shut that thing off when that kind of thing comes on. Flee from it, run from it, as in terror. Why? Because there's a spirit behind that, and if you don't get away from it, that spirit will begin to haunt you, and the images will start coming before your face, and you'll wonder why, but all you have to do is think back. Well, what's the thing that I just watched? How many of you, you don't have to put your hand up, but how many of you watched something on television in the night before you went to bed and then went to bed and dreamed about it? It came from somewhere. It got into you. Well, it's the same thing with the things of God. As you see some things, you can embrace them and take them in. Take in what is holy before God, holy before the Lord. If you'll take that in, you'll begin to be so sensitive to the things of the kingdom of God, the things of heaven. If we want to live totally in the world, live by all the world's rules, do the things that the world does, get the world's entertainment, well, then we have a desire for the world. And as simple as that. But if we want the things of God, then we find out what the things of God, the kingdom of God, are all about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure. The word pure there is a Greek word called kateros. I probably murdered that, but and it means to be clean or pure. It means to be purified by fire. It means it's like a vine cleansed by pruning and fitted to bear fruit. Blessed are those who are the pure of heart. So it's speaking to us, blessed are those who are willing to go through a refiner's fire in order to walk before the Lord. Blessed are those who are willing to come, God, I've missed it. Lord, I missed it. I did something I shouldn't have did. Please help me, God. And he'll come in like a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire will actually bring to surface the impurities of life. And that's what the Word of God will do. When we read the Word of God will actually speak to us about some things that we might be doing wrong. And it'll reveal them. It'll bring those impurities to the surface. Then we get to deal with them. You know how we deal with them? We say, Jesus, I see that I'm not doing something wrong. I see the thing. It's right before my eyes right now. I know I shouldn't be doing it. God help me. I did that with drugs when I was 27 years old. When I got saved and I was doing drugs and I was acting totally out of the character of a Christian, and I asked God, I said, God, I don't want to quit this. Actually, I don't really want to, but I know it doesn't fit with the kingdom. So God, I ask you, bring me to a place where I'm willing to let that go. I wanted him to put the desire in me, and he did. He got to the point where I hated that stuff, and I finally threw it down the toilet and flushed the thing and never went back to it again. But I had to make a choice. I asked him, God, show me how to get rid of this thing. And he was refining me. He was bringing me through the refiner's fire, the presence of the Lord, how good it is. Oh, glory to God. I know I haven't got time to finish this, but let me read one more scripture to you about in Revelation chapter 22, talking about heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a beautiful place. When you look at the scripture, how many of you ever heard about near-death experiences? You know, most of us have heard about them. There's some marvelous, marvelous stories. A lot of them are really good. There might be the odd one that, you know, you think, I don't believe that. But most of them are really great. Talking about experiences of entering into heaven. It sounds like a wonderful place. And talking about people who talk about visions where they've been caught up to heaven. And you say, well, Pastor, is that true? Well, the Bible says it was. The Apostle Paul talks about being caught up in the heaven itself while he was living on earth as a human being, that he actually said it was so real to him, he said, I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. He didn't know whether his spirit was still in his body or whether it was out of the body. It was so real to him. He was caught up in heaven and he'd seen some wonderful things. Other people, Ezekiel in the scriptures and so many more other people in the scriptures who were caught up in visions and revelations of God. Heaven is a beautiful place. The spiritual realm is real. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. The Apostle Paul writing, having visions of heaven. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Talk about the presence of God. They'll be so close. We'll see God face to face. His name will be on our foreheads, and we'll glory in his presence. There is nothing like the presence of God. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. I've been high on things that the earth had to offer, and I'm telling you, it is nothing like the Most High. It is nothing like the presence of the Lord coming in and filling a heart that is void of his presence. The scripture says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's already in there. It's already in there. The love of God has been shed abroad in our, it's in there. Did you know that? It's not just that God loves us, but he put his love on the inside of us so that we could love him. Stand with me, please. Now this morning we're going to come to the communion table. And this is a time when we come together as a people to declare our covenant with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul gave us some very strong scriptures concerning our relationship with God and concerning what the covenant meal is all about. I want to read you what the Apostle Paul said about this covenant meal. He has given teaching to the Corinthian church about coming to the Lord's table. He said this, speaking about the Lord's table, anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So he makes that statement, and then he gives us what to do about it so we don't come in an unworthy manner. Verse 28, but let a man or a woman or a child examine themselves, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, the Apostle Paul is telling the church at Corinth that many have come and took part of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Because of that, they have become sick, or the Bible, he says, they have fallen asleep, and most theologians actually mean that they have died because it was taken in an unworthy manner. So what we want to do is make sure that nobody comes to the table in an unworthy manner. And in an unworthy manner means we do not recognize that we have come before God, that the presence of the Lord is here, and that we are partaking in a meal that declares the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has washed our sin away, and we are devoted to him. So first of all, there may be somebody here this morning that has never invited the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. And we want to pray a prayer to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we can know that as Jesus Christ's blood is shed on the cross, we can be free from all that sin as we lay claim to the blood. the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray together. And if you've never prayed that prayer before in earnest, then I ask you and invite you to pray that as a statement of faith that you are receiving Jesus Christ into your life. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ already, then don't just go through the motions, but make it a statement of faith, once again affirming that you are a child of the living God and that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of heaven is watching. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we realize that we need a Savior. We have sinned, Lord, and we need our sins washed away. I ask you now to come into my life. Cleanse me from all sin, that I might have life forever with you. In the name of Jesus, I desire to have Jesus as King over my life. I release my life to Him and allow Him to live through me. In the name of Jesus, I declare Jesus Christ is Lord over my life now, in Jesus' name.